Now, if Jesus Christ can sustain the universe, then certainly He can hold together my life. He can hold together my family. He can hold together my marriage. He can hold together society and sustain us as believers. Believers, we need to understand that we have the power available to live out these commands. And I tried to stress that last time. Wives, the power is available in Christ for you to submit to your husband, no matter who he is or how he acts. And husbands, the power is available in Christ for you to be able to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Christianity is supernatural. We really can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We need to understand that, and we need to tap into that power through a fellowship with Christ that enables us to overcome the struggles that we face. Now, I'm sure that you've noticed that our imperfections seem to be magnified in the home. I mean, we see each other at our worst. The smiles that might be normal in a crowd can really turn to sour looks in the home. And the pretense of being under control while in public might give way to the out-of-control behavior in home. Yet if there's any area in life we need to demonstrate the power of Christianity, it's in the home. We can and we must live out these commands so that our homes will be testimonies to His love and grace. The Christian home is really the outpost of Christianity. God places us in this environment to represent Him here on the earth. And if we have strong families, we're going to have strong churches, we're going to have a strong society. Where Paul has addressed the wives and he's addressed the husbands, and now he moves on to the parent-child relationship. Look at Colossians 3:20. He says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Now let me ask you a question. Who is this verse addressed to? Children. Any argument there? Any disagreements with that? It's kind of what it says, right? I mean, we know what it says, but now here's the question. What does it mean by what it says? What is a child? Who is considered a child? There's no indication here as to the age of the child who are to obey their parents. You know, we tend to think that this command is given to younger children regarding their obligation to the parents. But I don't think that's so. The Greek word used for children in Colossians 3:20 is not technia, which would be more of the idea of a little children, but it's from technon, which means offspring. I am the technon of my mother, even though I'm 50 years old. I think a person comes out from under this command to obey when they leave the home and establish their own home. So in other words, as long as you are living under the roof of your parents, then this command is for you. You are to obey your parents. And I even think that the idea of when the child does leave that home to establish their own identity is a time that should be agreed on and set by the parents. The ancient world in which this was written was very different from our own. Children were very much under the domination of their parents. And the supreme example of this was the Roman patera potestas, which was the law of the father's power. Under it, a parent could do anything he liked to with his child. Now, we live in a day of children's rights, and in some sense, there's some need to protect children. But some of these groups are trying to put the kids above the parents and decide what the children need. Well, in these days in Rome, he could sell their children into slavery if they wanted. They need money? Here's a kid. I'll sell you this kid. How much will I get for him? He can make them work like a laborer on the farm. I'm not sure how they did that. It'd be good to find out. How do you make them work? Okay, I mean, I understand how to sell them. Maybe they made them work by saying, if you don't work, I'm going to sell you. That's it. I got a bidder over here. We could use the money. You're gone, kid. All right, you understand this, children? This is not our day, and I know you're thankful for that. But they could. Matter of fact, a father could condemn his child to death and carry out the execution. That was part of his parental rights. All the privileges, all the rights belong to the parents. All the duties belong to the children. Now, though our society has greatly changed from that of the first century, God's word really hasn't changed, and children are still to obey their parents. This is the same. Parents don't have the power they did back then, and that's probably good. But children are still to obey. Now, what exactly is obedience? We need to be clear in our minds about this idea of obedience, because I think we get the idea of some type of servile word reserved only for indentured servants. But you know, Jesus told us that our love for Him could only really be demonstrated through obedience. He says in John 14:15, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments," because that's what love is, it's obedience. He said in 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." So love and obedience belong together in a relationship to the Lord. And I think the same is true in relationship to parents. If you love your parents, there will be obedience. Now, be obedient is from the Greek word hupakuo, which is a compound word that literally means to hear under. That is, listen attentively, by implication to heed or conform to a command or authority. Now, the implication is that your obedience is to be much more than just a rigid trying to follow the rules of your home. Instead, it means that you are to first listen to your parents' instruction. That's the idea of a hupakuo. What are they saying? In other words, these are my parents. They're speaking. What are they saying? I want to hear it. Listening under. Hear what they are saying, and then think through what they are saying. Why are they saying it? Now, at times of parent instructions, especially as you get older kids and you get in the teen years, your parents tell you something and you're like, what is that about? Why are they telling me to do that? Well, let me give you a little suggestion here that might boggle the mind of your parents. When they give you an instruction, say, "Mom, Dad, I am pleased to obey you. I delight in obedience to you. I want to carry this command out to its fullest. But I don't really understand why you're doing this. Could you please take the time to explain to me how this is beneficial in my life and how it will help me and why you are commanding me in this way?" And then you might have to call 911 because they'll probably pass out, you know. But I think it's good for you to understand. You're to listen under. Why are they commanding this? What is the purpose of this? And that's part of your growth, to understand why your parents are doing and giving you the guidance that they are. The term that was used for wives being subject to their husbands was a different term from this one in a couple of ways. Submission means to place yourself under someone. And the use of the middle voice in the Greek verb implies it is voluntary. We talked about that, wives. Submission is voluntary. It is you voluntarily submitting yourself to this man for the sake of the order of the family. Well, here the word is much stronger, and it carries the idea of a readiness to hear and has in it the sense of obeying orders. It is also a present tense verb that means you are to do this constantly, consistently. Obedience is the pattern of your life. You're to always be obeying. I recently read a story about a mom and a dad who had a son who was a freshman in college, and he blew off his freshman year. He wasn't very responsible. He didn't make good grades. He squandered his money and finally came back home. And his parents told him, "If you go back to school, you're paying your own way. We're not doing that anymore." So he had to work that summer and not go on the family vacation, which was part of the fact that he had acted so irresponsibly. Well, the family went to Greece that year, and the mom and dad sent him a postcard from Greece, and it said, "Dear son, today we stood on the mountain where ancient Spartan women sacrificed their defective children. Wish you were here." That must have been a great postcard to receive. It all depends on where you put the punctuation in that sentence, you know, how it really comes across there. But I'm sure you've all felt that way. It's like, you know, parents, it's like, yeah, this is where they used to sacrifice their kids. And sometimes we wish we still had the absolute power that they had in those days. But in our society, we no longer kill our disobedient children. But we need to understand how serious God views disobedience. That's really the issue here. This command in Colossians is a command from God. God is saying, children, I want you to be obedient to your parents. How serious is disobedience? I mean, I think if we looked at our different families and the way we allow our kids to get away with disobedience, we would have to say that disobedience is not that serious to us. But I think it's a good question that we need to ask because we see so much disobedience today in children. Is it a big deal? Is it a big deal? Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is a story that you're probably familiar with, but I think it really shows us the importance of obedience. 2 Samuel 6:1 says, Now David again gathered all his chosen men to Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherub. And they placed the ark of God on a new cart, that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, of lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, cymbals. But while they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzziah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. You got the picture? There's a big celebration going on. They're playing instruments. They're just having a blast because they have got the ark back. The Philistines had the ark. The ark is back. This ark to them was a symbol of the presence of God. If you remember, they were in battle with the Philistines, and all of a sudden they brought the ark in. And when they saw the ark coming in, what did they do? Man, they all shouted. They were so excited. Yeah, God's here! And what did the Philistines do? Oh, man, we're in trouble now. God's in the camp. Well, the Philistines said, we don't have much chance. We might as well fight anyway. And they fought, and what happened? They beat Israel, and they took the ark. And they didn't like it too much because they had a lot of trouble when they had that ark. So they sent it back. Now, they didn't know anything about the ark. They didn't know what you were supposed to do. They just put it on a cart and said, get, and sent the oxen off, and it came back. That wasn't how the ark was to be transported. All right, God gave very specific instructions on how that ark was to be transported. And here we see Uzzah, the ark stumble, the cart was rocking, and this ark of God is falling. So he goes over to steady it, to stop it from falling off. And God kills him. He touched the ark and God killed him. Listen to me. Uzzah didn't kill anybody. He didn't commit adultery. He wasn't involved in idol worship. All he did was keep the ark of God from falling. All he did was touch it, and God killed him. Why? Here's what you need to understand. Uzzah was a Kohathite. He had been raised from his youth to understand the Kohathites were the ones who handled the ark of God and the utensils of God. And they understood they had specific instructions on what they were to do. And Uzzah disobeyed those instructions. And he died because of it. Exodus 25:14 says, And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark and carry the ark with them. And the poles shall remain in the rings of the ark and they shall not be removed. So God gave specific instructions when he told them how to build the ark. There was rings in the side of this ark built in, and they were to take these poles and slide them through the rings and lift it up and carry it on their shoulders. That's how they were to transport this ark. No one was to ever touch it. No one was to ever look inside of it. The ark was a symbol of the presence of God. And according to God's instruction, it was to be transported by the Kohathites who carried it on poles. Now that's where, if you saw the movie Indiana Jones, remember they found the Ark of God and they opened up and looked in it? Everybody died. That comes from a biblical idea. No one was to touch that thing. No one was to look inside that thing. And Uzzah died because he disobeyed God's instructions. See, disobedience is a dangerous condition. It's a dangerous condition. Even when our motives are sincere and we're trying to do what we think is right, we must constantly be mindful of the holiness of God and maintain a reverence for Him that is manifest by our obedience. Not our understanding, well, I don't know why God said I can't do that. That doesn't matter. God said it, and that's what's important. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this, "And Samuel said, Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." It's better to obey. Now, they were bringing in these things to worship God, they said, but the Lord delights far more in obedience than a performance of worship ceremonies without it. Folks, God takes pleasure in our obedience because disobedience is idolatry. 1 Samuel 15:23. Rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you from being king. When God says one thing and we stubbornly choose to go our own way, we are literally idolaters according to this text. Because we've actually decided to worship us. We've decided that our decisions, our view is more important than God's view of something. Now, the obedience called for in this text is to your parents. That's your dad and your mom. Because disobedience to parents is a very serious thing. God taught the children of Israel how important it was for their children to obey. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy 21 verse 16. You children, listen very carefully to these verses. It says, "If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and his mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown. And they shall say to the elders of the city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He's a glutton. He's a drunkard.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear." They were to do this as a corporate community. They had a child. The child didn't obey their mom. They didn't obey their dad. Okay, take them to the elders. This child's disobedient. Parents, can you even fathom carrying your child to the elders to do this? I mean, we tolerate a lot. We put up with a lot from our kids. And can you imagine dragging them before the elders and say, "Look," and I can't find really any record of this happening in Israel, but God told them this is what you should do, and you should do it so all Israel will hear and fear. We got disobedient children. They're stoned to death. You're out there playing with Johnny one day, and the next day, Johnny's dead. Where's Johnny? Oh, he disobeyed his mom and dad. Man, you think that word's going to spread throughout those kids? You think those kids are going to have a little bit more of a reverential, especially because they would witness it. This is a community event. This isn't like our executions. They took them in a back room somewhere and stoned them. No, it was publicly, and all the community would be involved in it. The kids would be there. The other parents would be there. This was a community event to show that God hates disobedience. Because if we don't teach our kids to obey, when they grow up to be adults, what's going to happen? Listen to how Solomon has to say about this in Proverbs 30, 11. He says, "There is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother." And in verse 17, he says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck it out and the young eagles will eat it." That's strong language. This is Solomon's way of saying it's really important to obey your mom and dad. Now, why do you need to obey your parents? Well, first of all, God has called for this kind of diligent obedience because it's impossible to please Him without obeying your parents. It's impossible. Secondly, in the providence of God, He has given you the very parents who are yours. Kids, you understand that? It wasn't an accident. It didn't happen by chance. God, the God who created the whole universe, sovereignly chose to place you with these parents, to use those parents to give you life, to bring you into the world, and also place you under their authority that they might train you, that they might raise you. Obedience to parents is very important to the Lord. Isn't it interesting in Romans chapter 1, in the midst of all those horrible sins listed in that degenerate society, right in the middle of them it says, disobedient to parents. You know, murders and adulterers and all, disobedient to parents. I mean, some people must wonder, what's that doing? That doesn't belong there. Get that out of there. You know? I mean, kids are always disobedient. That's no big deal. Obedience to parents is the manifestation of the rule of Christ in our lives. Children, teens, you cannot say that Jesus Christ is Lord and live lives that are disobedient to your parents. You can't do it. It's part of our Christian life to live in obedience to our parents. Now please notice what Paul says about the breadth of the obedience. He says, children, be obedient to your parents in how much? All things. All things. In all things. And the Greek here implies that it means according to the standard of all things. Obedience to the standard or policies of the parent should be without exception. God expects total obedience. When your parents say you need to do this, you need to do it. Now, if your parents are demanding you to do something that is clearly against what God has spoken in His Word, then and only then do you have the right to disobey. You need to follow what Peter and the apostles said when their Jewish authorities confronted them about their preaching of the gospel. They said, we need to obey God rather than man. But Peter later told Christians to submit to the governing authorities. So he wasn't promoting anarchy. He was saying that there's an exception to obedience, and that's when the people who are commanding you to obey are commanding you to do something contrary to the revealed will of God in Scripture. Now, when I was a youth pastor, I was teaching on this subject of children obey your parents, because it's a very important subject. It's important if a kid wants to be a godly kid, this is how he demonstrates his godliness, through obedience to the parents. And I was telling him, you need to obey your parents in everything. And then I brought up the exception. I said, unless your parents are asking you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God. Well, at the end of the service, we had one of the girls come to us, young girl, teenage girl, very upset. And we sat her down, talked to her, and found out that her stepfather was sexually molesting her. And so through a process of time and events, we had her father arrested. This took a period of time because we really tried to work through this with her to make sure she understood what was happening, to make sure everybody was clear on it. He confessed to all of it. And but folks, it's sad that you have to think that there's some parents that are so sick that they misuse their own children, abuse their own children, hurt their own children. I mean, if there's any place a child should find protection and security, it's in the home. It's not a place to be abused. It's not a place to be hurt. It's a place of comfort, a place of security. Now, when we looked at verse 18 of Colossians 3, we said that it was not directed to husbands. Wives, submit to your husbands. All right, that's not, verse is not written to husbands. It's written to the wives. The husbands cannot make their wives submit. And when we looked at verse 19, I said, that verse is not to you, wives. It's to the husbands. A husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And women, you cannot make your husband love you. Now, although this verse is specifically written to children, I think there's a little bit difference here. I think that this command to children is dependent upon a husband-wife relationship. Let me read you something that Gary Ezzo says in Growing Kids God's Way. He says, the marriage relationship is the stage upon which the performance of trust is acted out before your child's watchful eyes. Make no mistake, your son or daughter is observing you closely. What he or she sees can have a tremendous impact, for the love and nurture you give your wife will help elevate your child's level of trust in you. Children thrive on the demonstration of love between parents. They need to feel confident that dad is tremendously in love with mom. A father can be wonderfully involved with his children, hiking, fishing, skating, taking walks, and helping with homework, but still nullify the results of his efforts if he does not continually cultivate a love relationship with his wife. Loving your wife is a prerequisite to building trust with your children. From a child's perspective, how much trust can he have in a dad that can't take time to be with his mom? How much trust can he have in a dad that speaks harshly to his mom or is not patient with her? One of the greatest emotional needs a child has is the need to know that mom and dad love each other. Fathers, the best thing you can give your children is a loving demonstration before their little eyes of how much you love their mom. It is the most fundamental point of security and takes us right back to the basic question, how much trust can I have in a dad who is not continually loving my mom? Not very much. End quote. Now I agree with Ezzo. I believe that the husband-wife relationship, if it's a mess, it is very difficult for that kids in that home to follow, probably because there's going to be two sets of parents, parents giving them two different directions. If they're not united, there's going to be a lot of conflict in that home, and it's going to make it very difficult for the child. Now, there's always exceptions to this. And what I mean by this is, you can have a very obedient, very godly child come up in a home that's an absolute mess. I've seen it. You've seen it. And you can have vice versa, all right? So there's exceptions to this, but I'm saying if children are going to obey their parents, there needs to be a united front there. There needs to be a loving, caring unit there that is giving them directions in obedience. And although this verse is written specifically to children, parents, you have a responsibility to train them to be obedient. Did any of you have children that came into the world obedient? You just told them something and they just went and did it. Don't touch that. Oh, they never touched it again. Go here. Oh, they did it. Any of you have kids like that? No? They go to disobedience school when they're born somewhere. I'm not sure where it is, but they learn that, all right? And they really need to be taught obedience. Parents possess basic authority. The authority has the responsibility to train a child. In other words, your child is to obey, but you're to train them to obey. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he won't depart from it. Now, who's he talking to here? He's talking to parents. Parents, it's your job to train your children. You are to teach them the way they are to go. You're not to let them go their own way. You're to train them. And this training involves making them obey. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will remove it far from them. Now remember, this is God who's saying this stuff, all right? God who created the family, God who created everything is telling us, here's how to raise children. This is, Proverbs really gives us a guide here for doing it. And it's interesting that today these standards are so balked against. Discipline, corporate punishment? No! You can't spank a child. You can't do that. And there's so many laws now being enacted to try to even keep you from doing that. When our children were very little, we lived in a townhouse. And my wife used to say, we got to keep it down here because we're with the neighbors. I said, if they come over here, I'm going to spank them too. All right, because they're not going to tell me I can't spank my children in my own home. And if they need spanking, they're going to get spanked. Now, we got to use wisdom. I wouldn't be out in the middle of the grocery store, pull out your spoon and start wailing on your child. All right, that just doesn't make good sense. All right? You might end up in a riot there. Proverbs 23:13 says, do not hold back discipline from a child. Although you beat him with a rod, he won't die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol. Again, I'm not writing this. I'm not making this stuff up. Parents, do you have a rod? It says you're to beat him with a rod. I'm not exactly sure what the rod is, and it's really hard to try to nail this down to figure out what the rod is. When I think of rod, I'm thinking of a metal rod. That wouldn't be a good idea, okay? Not a good idea at all. It's funny, different groups have actually developed things for spanking children with leather things or whatever else, but whatever it is you use. And the idea here, I think it's important that it brings out the idea you should use an instrument to discipline. In other words, it's not to be your hand. You're not to hit them with your hand. The hand is the affection of love. When you reach out to your kids, you don't want them flinching. Now, if they see the stick or whatever in your hand, yeah, then they're running. All right? Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings his mother shame." Have you ever seen that verse fleshed out? Oh, my word. You ever been in the grocery store? And the poor mother's embarrassed to death because the kid wants something and he's going to pitch a fit because he's not getting it? Proverbs 20:30 says, "Stripes that wound score away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts." It's literally blows of a bruise, severe blows that bruises the idea. Physical discipline may cure a child of evil and cleanse their inner person. In other words, this is what God is telling us to do. Parents, you're to make your children obey when they're younger. Make them obey. And hopefully as they get older, they're moving into that stage where they're not needing to continually be spanked anymore, but they are realizing that they need to live in obedience. Disobedience comes naturally to children. And parents, it's our job to help them overcome it. Now let me ask you a question, parents. This may seem dumb to you, but think about it for a minute. Should Christian parents train their children to be unresponsive to instruction the first time it is given? Do I need to ask that again? Should Christian parents train their children to be unresponsive to instruction the first time it's given? In other words, should we teach them to disobey? When we tell them to do something and they don't do it and we let it go, what are we doing? Well, it's okay. Obedience is not that important in that area. So it's all right if you disobey. Now you say, well, this is a lot of work. I know it's a lot of work, especially in the younger years. You know, I love it when you have a parent come to you. Usually it's a mother with toddlers and she's just like distraught. I'm so worn out from these kids, from spanking them, from disciplining them. And I just have to smile and think to myself, you just wait. It gets better as they get older, you know? I wish it could be so easy when they get older as to just say spank or not spank. You know, they get older, it gets a little more complicated. But you really need to think about that, because if obedience is important and God's telling the children to obey and parents are responsible to train them to obey, we train them to obey by giving a command that is immediately followed. And if it's not immediately followed, it is followed by discipline. Because anything less than that is training in disobedience. Now your kids are thinking, man, don't be telling my parents this stuff. But parents, you need to think about it. I mean, we desire obedience, but we're actually teaching disobedience. Notice the motivation that Paul gives for obedience in this verse. He says, this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing implies that it's commendable, it's favorable. Believers, we all need to understand this. Listen, obedience pleases God. 1 Corinthians 10:5 says, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Speaking of the children of Israel, God was not pleased with them. Why? Because they were disobedient. Listen to 1 John 3:21-22. It says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. The Bible makes it clear that when we disobey, we are not pleasing God. Now, I think many people have a wrong idea about disobedience. All right? They think that God wants to make our lives miserable, so He gives us a bunch of rules and regulations, you know, just to keep us unhappy, so we won't have fun. And that's the way many people really view God. And sometimes Christians reinforce that view of God as somebody who doesn't, you know, care so much about what you do, it's just what you don't do. However, the reason God wants us to obey Him, which includes children obeying their parents, really has very little to do with Him wanting to keep us from fun. It has to do with Him caring about us. He doesn't want us to get hurt. And this is the whole idea with obeying parents. You learn to obey parents. You should, you know, transfer that also to God and learn to understand and obey God. God's guidelines for our behavior are there to protect us. And parents, if you're going to come to the point where you're going to give a command that is going to be obeyed, we have to be careful in the commands we give. That they're worth obeying. That they're something that needs to be obeyed. So we don't cause them unnecessary grief. We'll look at that next week. God doesn't want us to get hurt. Now, think about this for a minute. Think about something in the Bible that's a sin. I don't mean something you made up, your favorite sin, but something that the Bible specifically says is a sin. Doesn't matter what it is. A person will always be safer and better off if he doesn't do that. Right? I mean, we could come up with a lot of examples that it's almost silly to waste time doing so now. But you pick a sin, any sin. And the reason to avoid it could be quickly thought of. From a personal standpoint, how will this sin hurt you? How will it damage you? How will it ruin you? You know? And I don't care, like I said, it's any sin. Pick one. There's consequences to them. God delights in our obedience because everything God commands us is for our own good. And so what God is really delighting in when He delights in our obedience, He is delighting in our lasting joy. Deuteronomy 6:24 says, "So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today." In other words, God gave us these commandments for our good, for our happiness, so we could survive, so we could flourish in the land. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and love Him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I'm commanding you today for your good." All of God's commands, they're like a doctor's prescription or a physician's therapy. They're not arbitrary. They're meant to make us well, to make us happy. Every command of Jesus is meant for our good, whether we understand it or not. And like I said, a lot of times we don't need to understand, we just need to obey. And the same thing with children. You don't have to understand everything. You know, if you're running out into the street and your father or mother sees a car coming and they yell to you, stop, you don't say, you know, I'm playing right now, why do I need to stop? That's not an issue. It's just obey. And, you know, I think the importance of obedience, you know, that maybe that's a drastic example, but there's times when you don't have time to explain to your children. You just want instant obedience. You know, I had a dog, and I was out jogging with the dog. And I'm going down Cedar Road, and I noticed that the dog had got on the other side of the street. It was nighttime. And how he got over there, I don't know. He saw something he took out after him. So now I'm running down the street, and he's on the other side, and he's coming back across for me. And I see cars coming, and I don't know what to do. There's nothing I can do. And he got hit by the first car, thrown into the line of the second cars, and hit a couple times by the other cars. And I sat there by the side of the road devastated because basically it was my fault. And so the next dog I got, I was determined, this dog's going to learn to obey. I'll give him, and the one command I worked on more than anything else was down. That dog can be anywhere, he can be doing anything. When I yell down, he drops. He drops down on the ground and he just lays there and he waits for me to give him another command. Because I know that can save his life. If we're in a situation where there's a car, where there's something going on, I yell down, boom, he's down. It took a little work to get him there, but it's well worth it. You know, and it's amazing to me. And listen, if you could teach a dog to obey, certainly you could teach your kids, right? It's a little work, and you probably don't want to use the same methods I used on my dog. Although I do have a collar I could loan you, that spike collar, but no, I don't think we should use that on our kids. But it's for their protection. Another example of this, in July 1976, Israeli commandos raided a hijacked plane in the airport in Entebbe, Uganda. In less than 15 minutes, all 7 of the kidnappers had been killed and 103 Jewish hostages had been set free. However, 3 hostages were killed. Commandos came in and they shouted in Hebrew, "Get down, crawl." Those who understood and obeyed lived. The ones who didn't, if they didn't immediately, you know, if they're thinking, Why are they telling us to get down? Bullets are flying, they die. So there's times when you don't have time to explain why you're asking something to be done, they just do it. Obedience, folks, is commanded for our good. God's rules for our behavior are not things that we do to earn salvation. It's not because, you know, if you want to be saved, you do all these things. No. God loves us, and He's given us rules to guide our lives, to make us fulfilled, to make us happy. They're there to protect us, to make our lives easier. And the sooner we stop thinking that God's rules are there to make us miserable or keep us from fun, and understand they're there to protect us, they're given to us by a loving Heavenly Father, the better off we'll be. And the same way with kids, you've got to understand if your parents are asking something of you, then you need to obey it, whether it makes sense or not. The context of disobedience here is the pleasure of the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? That obeying your parents brings the Lord pleasure? Your Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, is pleased when you take the garbage out, when you're told to do that. That pleases God. Think about that. He deserves joy from it. He derives joy from it. He takes pleasure in it. This is one of the few places in Scripture that the Bible states something as pleasing the Lord. If you really want to please God, and I've had this conversation with a teenager because this teenager, you know, goes to church and is involved in their church, and yet they treat their parents like trash. And I said, you know, that's inconsistent. You can't be a godly kid and disobey your parents. You can't do it. Now, Paul gives instructions in a parallel passage in Ephesians that's interesting because he adds something in Ephesians. You know the Ephesians command. Everyone knows Ephesians 6:1, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? It's right. That's why. It's just the right thing to do, you know? He goes on in verse 2, says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, which I believe is a command that never ends. Doesn't matter how old they are. But verse 3 says that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Check that out. Obeying your parents is right. Okay, it's the right thing to do. But there's also a benefit for you, kids. Things are going to be well with you and you get to live longer. I mean, that's what the verse says. Think about it. When your mom says to you, take out the trash and clean up your room. If you take out the trash and clean up your room, things are going to be well and you might add a year to your life. Hey, that's a good deal, right? So you want to do that. You want to do, but on the other hand, if you don't take out the trash, if you don't clean up your room, things are not going to be well with you. Okay, you say, well, my parents are easy. They'll let me get away with it. Listen, God has built into the universe rules, and you reap what you sow. All right, it may not be immediate. It may not come for your parents. Your parents may neglect, may tell you to do something and then neglect punishment if you don't do it. But God will not. What an incredible promise. It may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I'm not talking about heaven or some other promise. I'm talking about right now. We can rebel. We can become disobedient. But it always has built-in consequences. The law of the universe is in place. You'll always reap what you sow. And he says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. The idea there, Paul means your obedience to your parents is because you desire to please God. And that's the bottom line here. That's the bottom line of obedience. You're obeying your parents as unto the Lord. Because when you obey your parents, you are obeying God. You are pleasing God. You are honoring God. It doesn't matter. Your parents might ask you, especially you older kids, you teenagers, your parents ask you to do something. You say, that sounds stupid. I don't understand it. Listen, it doesn't matter. Your parents are going to make mistakes. They're going to tell you to do things that, you know, later they're going to say, I shouldn't have done that. But that doesn't matter. You're obeying them unto the Lord. That's where your obedience is. It's just like when the wife submits to the husband, she's doing it unto the Lord. When the husband loves his wife, he's doing it unto the Lord. When the child obeys his parents, they're doing it unto God. In other words, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, you put your faith in Christ, and you love Him, then this is how you respond, children. You obey your parents in the Lord. There's no other way to demonstrate your love for God. I don't care what else you do. I don't care how sacrificial your life is. I don't care how many other people you're ministering to. I don't care what you're doing. If you're not obeying your parents, you're unpleasing to the Lord, according to this verse. Now remember, that in Colossians 3, Paul's dealing with the subject of the rule of Christ over our lives. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the underlying question is, how can a Christian child express his or her desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? It's best evidenced in a child's obedience to their parents. That's it. That's how you demonstrate your love for God. If you are a child living under the authority of your parents, this is your primary calling. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, these commands here in the end of Colossians touch every one of us. They touch us deeply. They touch us where we live. Father, for a wife to submit to the husband isn't always easy. For a husband to love his wife is not always easy. And for a child to obey their parents is not always easy. But Father, help us to realize that if we have trusted you, if we are walking in fellowship with you, the power is available to live these out. We can be what you have called us to be if we trust in your power. Help us to understand that. And help us to have homes, Father, that honor you through the way we live. In Jesus' name, amen. Any questions this morning before we dismiss? I think that was clear, right? Children, you got to obey. Parents, you got to make sure they do. Questions? Any questions? No questions. All right. Then we're done. Let's.